this girl from my high school who's now posting on her Insta story, like, day one of quarantine. Today was day three of quarantine. And I'm like, bitch, we've been in quarantine. It's been 8 months. What do you mean day one? Welcome to the Week Unholy Clum Podcast. Week Clum. To week six. Episode six. We've got a small following now. Thank you to all 20 of our regular listeners.
Yeah.
Thanks for sending us all the cards
and the hearts. Really brightened my day this week.
I didn't get any of those.
I did not give out your address.
You're getting cards?
Yeah.
I don't think that's listeners. I think that's something else.
It does have a very threatening tone to it. So honestly, maybe you're right.
I think so.
Well, that's fine.
It's Saturday. We're still like behind our, you know, normal schedule, but
thanks.
We're getting caught up.
States counting votes for slowing us down.
Yeah.
Although we learned last week, there are reasons for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all those pigeons. It's been a good weekend so far. So far today, I've just cleaned my apartment. I feel very cleansed.
Nice. I got my teeth cleaned last night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They're very clean now, except I just had a burger, so I need to brush my teeth shortly. But they're pretty clean. So you cleaned your apartment. I cleaned my mouth. Really firing it on cylinders today.
Yeah. I looked around my apartment last night, and I just felt shame because... You know, I've lived in crappy apartments, and when you live in, like, a crappy apartment and it gets messy, it's kind of like, meh, whatever.
This is how I live.
Yeah, but when you actually put money into an apartment and it's an expensive place to live and then you still crap it up, you have to have a moment. Like, I just kind of sat there last night for, like, 10 minutes staring at my mess, just being like, why am I like this?
Who am I?
Spending all my money on rent and my apartment is a mess. So I cleaned it up this morning. It was great. It was very nice. So now
I have to keep my room pretty clean because I can't focus on projects if my room isn't clean. I've got to clean this before I can do anything. But then instead I'll lay in bed and scroll on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, what happened was I was doing a really good job keeping my apartment pretty clean. And now we have like our little robot vacuum mop guy and he keeps the floors real nice. But the election happened, and then this past week I had a crazy week at work, mostly because I didn't get anything done during the election week, so I actually had to get work done. And then this work had some real deadlines that I actually needed to meet, so I could not really focus on my apartment. But now it's nice and clean. It feels fresh, so it's good.
Is it snowing there? I know you were talking about putting up Christmas lights before we were recording, and I can only do that when it's snowing. In my head, I'm like, I need snow to put up Christmas lights.
No, so Denver, winter is such that it snows maybe one in every 10 days. It'll dump snow for like a full day. And then the other 9 days will be like 50 degrees and sunny. So to me, it's the best of both worlds. Because as soon as I start to feel like, I feel like it should be snowing right now, then I will look out my window and it's a blizzard. And then the next day I'm like, well, I'm sick of that. And then it's sunny for 9 days straight. And I'm like, well, this is great.
So my understanding is that you control the weather in Denver.
that is accurate.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's good you moved there then, because that must have been hard to manage from Ann Arbor.
Yeah. I threw a lot of people off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I'm sure it will get snowier as it gets more into winter, but from what I've heard too, like, it is kind of unpredictable. You don't know when it's going to snow because these, you know, pockets of weather just kind of come off the mountains and then dump a bunch of snow. Speaking of dumps, there was a collage of videos.
That's a great transition.
All of the Times newscasters said dumps. Big dump during the election week, and it was like 4 minutes long. It was like, we've got a big dump coming tonight. We're expecting two dumps this morning, and it was just like,
that's me that the day after.
And I was like, I am such a child, because the whole week I was thinking that while they kept talking like that, they just kept being like, we're expecting a big dump later tonight. And David would just laugh and be like, same.
He's such a child sometimes, both of you.
We both are, so it works. We're both, yeah.
I was more productive this week than I've been in 4 years, so
I feel that. I feel that.
I felt pretty good about what I got done. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. Focus... It's a whole new world now where I can just be preoccupied with whether or not, you know, the people we voted are still going to cage kids and drop bombs on people, or if maybe things will get slightly better.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, like, a stress hangover. Like, Monday, Tuesday, I was still not very productive. And then, like, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I had, like, 3 12-hour work days where I was just... I didn't want to stop because I was getting so much done. And that was pretty great. But now I'm tired. And now I just have to catch up on, like, 5 weeks of homework. So...
That'll figure itself out.
I'm sure that'll sort itself out. I was on the phone with my mom, and she was like, how's school going? And I was like, I think I'll get caught up before it ends. And she was like, well, I hope so.
Because you have to pass the class, as it turns out.
This class doesn't have any deadlines. It just has weekly homework assignments that drop, and then you just have to have all of them
homework dumps?
Turn in before. Yeah. But you have to have all of them turned in before the end of the semester, which is December 13th. So I've got exactly a month to finish all of it. And right now I am 6 weeks behind. Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, next week, it can't possibly, not next week, but the one after Thanksgiving week, you're not going to have any work to do, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I also, like, I don't have a problem with, you know, spending most of my weekends doing school. Like, I'll chill in the evenings, but... That was part of my reasoning for wanting to jump right from undergrad into grad school, was like, I was already used to spending my weekends doing homework. So mm-hmm. It wasn't like, sometimes I get sad, but now with quarantine and like,
you're home anyway,
there's nothing else I would be doing. So might as well make use of this time. I did have someone asked me, like, it was Rosie, asked me like earlier in quarantine, maybe like May or April. I think it was May.
We were so young then.
About going to grad school while working. And I was just like, right now we all have the time, but this isn't going to go on forever. So you have to think about, like, do you want to be doing homework when you're 25? The answer is probably no. So really think about whether or not this is worth it.
As someone who's learning a bunch of stuff right now at almost 36, like, I don't want to be doing this right now. Rosie, please turn back. Do it while you're younger.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when you're signing up for the program, you look at it and you're like, oh, it'll take 3 years because Cisco pays my tuition, but this program is really expensive. So we only get $10,000 a year, which is good, but that's 3 classes a year. So 1 per semester, including summers. So it takes 3 years. And mm-hmm. when I started, I looked at that and was like, that's not bad. And now I'm like going into year 3 and I'm just so tired.
I'm just so tired all the time. It's had an impact too on our music production, because I'm like, what if we record, you know, a rock opera? And you're like, I have to do math on paper. It's bullshit.
I don't do math on paper anymore.
Wow, they let you use what? I don't know.
An abacus.
Your fancy e-reader? Yeah, you've got an abacus. A slide rule. They want us to know the roots of math, so we really appreciate where we are now.
Yep.
Are you going to see your new nephew and your brother-in-law for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Her family is coming next week. They have been, like, quarantining, and then they're all going to get tested, and then they're going to mm-hmm. drive from Michigan to Colorado not stop. Because they have 3 drivers, so they're just going to drive.
How long is that?
It's about 20 hours.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So 3 drivers, they can do it in a day, but... it's going to suck. But so they're trying to mitigate risk as much as possible.
Yeah, that's smart.
You know, because you have to balance, like, minimal chance of COVID to prevent, like, massive postpartum depression. Seems reasonable.
I don't understand. That doesn't add up to me.
So, yeah, I think they're planning on doing it the right way. They're still kind of on the fence about whether they still want to do it, just because the governor of Michigan 2 days ago was like, you shouldn't travel out of state and all this stuff. And I mean, they are doing all of the right things. And you do only get to meet a newborn baby once. But I'm also kind of like,
put it back
boring.
In there and we'll take it out
boring.
When we're ready.
It's pretty boring when they're newborns. So like, if you miss this part, you know, but I'm also not a big baby person. So,
right.
My mom is super sad.
Is she, cause she, I know she's in healthcare. So,
I mean, she works from home. The issue is more that my dad just kind of does whatever. And you know, and my mom's just kind of paranoid, like, more of like better safe than sorry. Like you would hate to go visit and then have something happen, right? So even if they did everything right, I think she still wouldn't want to. They're planning on coming in like January or February for an extended period of time.
Yeah, where they can like quarantine for a little bit and then stay
for like a month or something. Yeah.
That Mary Lynch has a good head on her shoulders.
Yeah. I think she's subscribed to the pod.
Hopefully.
But she hasn't.
This podcast is pro Mary Lynch.
Yeah. 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 So I don't know. Things are better.
That sounds better.
You know,
I'm
going to
do
better.
Anna wanted me to come to Ann Arbor for Thanksgiving, and I was going to, and then my mom was like, well, you can come do Thanksgiving with us. But then the cases started going up and up and up. So I was like, well, I don't feel like it's a good idea to go anywhere. So
Michigan's real bad right now.
Well, the rest of California isn't great either. The city's okay, but the rest of it is terrible.
Yeah. So I saw a graph that was like, you know, Michigan at the beginning kind of went up a lot and then it leveled out and it's been level. And then the day that the Michigan Supreme Court like struck down the governor's
nice rules that she put in place to
orders,
keep people safe,
then it just went up like insanely up, and now Michigan has like almost 10,000 new cases a day. It's insane. So it's real bad. It's real bad there right now.
Heck yeah, glad I'm not there. I'm gonna do hot pot.
Some of my mom's friends have it, which is not great, and so yeah, I feel like it's only a matter of time before it starts getting even like closer and closer into our like inner circle. But at this point, I feel like everybody knows someone that's had it. So
I do. Yeah, you're right.
Boom.
Boom. There it is. We solved it. We know people who have it. That's step one. Acceptance.
Yeah. I'm hope like the vaccine's still going to take a while, but there's promising things now about this experimental treatment. It was the one that Trump got, which has to be great because given his health.
Yeah.
And
he's always on the verge of death anyway.
He absolutely should have died from it. And he didn't. So, I mean, and that is supposed to be a pretty promising treatment. So I think a treatment is going to be helpful before a vaccine is, in terms of reducing hospitalizations. So
hopefully. Do we want, we've got an important update on one of our previous segments before.
Yeah,
that I
let's
think
get into
we got to get to first this week. Are you going to read it or not? I'm going to read it.
I'll read it because I think I read the original. So
okay.
This is a throwback to
two weeks ago.
I think it was week three.
In the before times.
No. Okay. So the original post was, am I the asshole for proposing to my girlfriend with an amulet, specifically the amulet of Mara from Skyrim, rather than a ring? And the guy, for context, he was like, she politely said that she loved the amulet, but she still wanted a ring, and I refused, and blah, blah, blah. So I think this is going to be a good update, but... update, am I the asshole for proposing to my girlfriend with a video game relic and refusing to buy a ring when asked? So if you only read that title, you'd say, absolutely, but I think this has a happy ending. Okay, hello everyone, here's a link to my previous post, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we already explained that. And I was a big asshole, as many of you pointed out, because she wanted a more traditional ring. Well, here's an update for you. We got married. I realized pretty quickly after posting my original post that I was the asshole and my feelings were hurt because I'm an idiot. We love to see it. So we picked out a ring together, and in that we decided, hey, let's just elope. Nice. So we both picked out a ring and now we're married. Thank you for everyone who tried to knock some sense into me. I'm very happy with my wife.
My wife.
And I'm glad we both got what we wanted. She also wore the amulet as we got married. But she didn't want me to post any of our actual wedding photos on the internet, so I'm just posting the rings. That's it. We're happy. A ring was bought and now we're just enjoying nerdy married life.
That's beautiful. I love that for them. I'm happy. And I'm proud. I want to think they heard the podcast and are like, you know what? I was the asshole.
I want to know what these pictures were because... okay, so there's an edit that says, I removed the photo of our rings. I will not have people insult my wife. She is a ridiculously beautiful woman, but that isn't the most important thing. She is compassionate and smart as hell. She's the funniest person I know and has such a quick wit, she'll put you on your ass laughing. But you can't get past her... I think adorable hands. So no more photos. Sorry. I have to wonder like what was wrong with her hands.
I do also want to know that.
Maybe she had like pudgy fingers. You know, like thick fingers. But T-H-I-C-C. Who would be the fucking asshole looking at a picture of somebody's wedding ring on their finger and being like, ugh, her hands. Ugh.
Yeah, I wish we could see it. I don't want to message him and join the Discord server that they've set up to see these hands, but
well, I'm just glad that
they worked it out.
Now that he said that, people are going to join it just to make fun of her hands, like, because I want to know what's wrong with her.
People on the internet wouldn't do that, Becca. You would have some pain.
That's true.
A lot of good eggs out here, you know? Just trying to be supportive. That is cute, though. I'm glad. I guess, you know, we ask, you know, why do people post here? But I guess maybe sometimes it actually helps them see like, oh, I'm wrong. You're right. I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it can be silly when people post things about their relationship here because it like there's a little bit of a lack of emotional maturity if you need strangers on the internet to tell you you're wrong.
No.
And all like. I don't really understand how at no point during him typing out his original post did he pause to be like, I do seem like an asshole. Especially when he was like,
yeah,
she
as
asked
I
me
write
for
it
a ring.
Out.
She asked me for a ring and I said, no, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. well, I'm glad that
yes.
they eloped.
So glad. I hope they're very happy.
We love to see an elopement.
Looking
Weddings
for an update
silly.
When they have a baby and they have to reference another Skyrim thing and... Come here for help. That's the dream.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's move on to our real one. That was just a quick update. Very wholesome content. I think we all need that in our world these days. So,
all right. Which one are we going to do next?
I'm going to read the one that David has shared with us that he has labeled with the word simply gay. I think I should read this as the gay on the podcast.
For people who don't know, David picks out these posts for us in advance, so we don't read them, so you're getting our raw reactions. And then he will paste the links in a Google Doc, and then with each link, he'll put like a 1 to 2 word summary. So all we get is the summary.
And
so
the title.
So this week's, we had the update on the Amulet of Mara, gay, fat kids, damn Catholics, and David content. So we'll see what we end up reading.
Yeah. We don't always read all the ones he sources, so we'll see where we get to. But anyways, so this one is, am I the asshole for accidentally outing my niece by assuming my nephew was spying on me when it was actually her?
Oh.
Hi, female 35. Oh my God, it's me. Recently lost my job and had to move in with my sister and her kids. I get on well with them and there are generally no issues. However, about a week ago, I started getting the feeling that I was being watched whenever I was in the bathroom or my bedroom.
Ew.
Yesterday, I knew for sure that someone was peeping as I could see their shadow. I decided enough was enough and went to open the door. This caused them to bolt. The footsteps went in the general direction of my nephew's room. I confronted him about it. I was polite but firm with him. He denied it, of course. Things then became a bit heated. My sister and niece came to see what was happening. I told her that her son was looking at me while I was getting changed. She asked him if this was true. He again denied it, and she said she believed him, as he doesn't lie. one of those kids that never tells a lie.
Hmm.
I told her that I saw his shadow on the under the door and heard him rushing away. This is when she took offense and accused me of calling her son a liar and a pervert.
Okay.
You sound like a pervert.
You sound like a pervert.
This is when things really kicked off. Eventually, my niece blurted out that it was her. All three of us were taken aback by this. Before anyone could ask her what she meant by this, she sped off. Aww. My sister later called me and her son into the kitchen where my niece came out to us all. She apologized for spying on me and promised she would never do it again. She was clearly very embarrassed. I thanked my niece and told her I forgave her. My sister asked if I had anything I wanted to apologize for, so I turned to my nephew and apologized for accusing him of creeping on me. I thought that would be it, but my sister wasn't finished. My sister told me that I owed my niece an apology as well. I asked, what for? She told me that I needed to apologize for putting her daughter in a distressing position where she was forced to come out before she was ready. I told her that was ridiculous. I had no idea she was gay. She put herself in that position by peeping on me. I acknowledged that my niece did the right thing by coming forward rather than letting her brother take the blame, but I told her I wasn't going to apologize for it either. My niece is still upset and won't make eye contact with anyone. What do you think? Am I the asshole here? I want to know how old the kids are.
That's what I was thinking this whole time. I want to say no, not the asshole. Doesn't matter if they're your niece or nephew. If you're being peeped on, it's creepy.
Yes.
It's reasonable for you to suspect your nephew first, right? Like, especially if you had no reason to think that your niece was gay. But again, it depends on how old they are. Like, if they're little, like under, I don't know, 10, I still don't think you're the asshole, but maybe have a bit more grace. But if these are teenagers and they know, like, and the niece knows what she's doing is wrong, then that's a different conversation.
Yeah, I think so too.
Not the asshole, but you maybe just have a conversation with your niece.
I do think it's unfortunate that the niece had to come out that way, though.
Yes. I think you could apologize for how it happened, but you don't need to apologize for having been peeped on.
Yeah, I feel like that you didn't instigate this, so the niece bears some responsibility there. It's a shitty way to have to come out, but yeah, I don't think this person's the asshole either. And she apologized to everyone else. She's like, look, I'm sorry. I jumped to a conclusion because that was the information that made the most sense to her. That's what you get for assuming who people are interested in, Becca.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good. I'm glad we had this talk.
What was I going to say? I forgot.
I'm sure it was really insightful.
It makes me think that the kids are older because she's saying my niece like won't make eye contact and blah, blah, blah. And if she were... That makes me think she's old enough to have...
To know that she did something wrong.
Or to feel like being gay is wrong, right? Like, if you're young enough... I mean, it depends on how the parents are, but I feel like kids are young enough and they realize that they're gay, they're not going to, like, hate themselves for it. Or, I don't know. So it makes me think that they must be older. At least 10 is probably my guess, which is the eight. Like, I guess that's my arbitrary age for saying, like, you should realize that you shouldn't peep on your aunt.
Yeah.
Regardless of your sexuality.
0 to 9. And it's like, okay, whatever.
That's wrong.
But when you hit 10, get it figured out. Good to know.
Well,
if I ever have kids, I will make sure they don't stay with you until they're old enough to know, you know.
I think it would be, I'm just saying it would be a different conversation, right? Like, they're old enough to know, then the conversation is like, why are you doing this? This is wrong. If they're little, then it's like, okay, we need to talk about why this is wrong, right? Like, you know, you can be curious, but you should not look at your aunt.
Like, well, you shouldn't creep on anybody, but.
Correct.
Family members count in there. I feel like if there is an element, you know, of the girl felt worried about being gay or ashamed or all of those feelings that young gay people can feel. There are so many issues with society where they have to feel like that. So that is also not the aunt's fault. I don't get any impression in here that anyone has a problem with the niece being gay, which I appreciate.
Right.
So it's unfortunate that maybe they felt like that, like they couldn't tell anybody, but not the asshole for the poster at least.
Yeah. 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 it's, I think the niece did, like she said, the niece did the right thing, because she could have very easily just let her brother take the fall for it and never had to have come out. But it's sad that she had to come out in this way. So I think the right thing to do for the aunt in this situation is to at least have a conversation with the niece.
You know what you do to make up for it?
Sorry that this happened this way, right? Like,
I think the aunt should show a single tit and say, this is how I apologize to you.
No more peeping. I'm going to give you 30 seconds of one tit.
You can look. You cannot touch. Afterwards, we will not speak of it. That's reasonable.
That's a compromise.
Yeah. Everybody gets what they want. We decided not the asshole. The first comment on this one just says, not the asshole. Niece was being a creepy perv and got caught. Not your fault at all. The age to me plays a factor in whether it's creepy or just off-putting, I guess.
My guess is like pre-teen, because if they were old enough to have a computer or some sort of internet access, this probably wouldn't have been a situation either.
Yeah, this is a lesson to get your kids iPads.
Get them hooked on porn early.
So they leave your family members alone. Yeah. That's just good parenting.
But that's what I'm thinking. Like, young enough, old enough to obviously be ashamed of it, but young enough to not have, you know, other outlets. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing 10 to 12, which is an age where, yeah, this is creepy. Don't do that.
10. 10's the cutoff, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah. Let's not take that out of context.
I can only have things be in context, so I would never. Don't you worry about me, kiddo. I see you laughing silently. All right, you take our next one.
All right, let's see. Let's do the one that says peak David content, because you know he puts in all this work to pick our posts. We'll let him have one.
He's our hardworking little boy.
It says, am I the asshole for selling my PS5 pre-order? So this does sound like peak David content. David has been trying to get a PS5 for the past several days through Walmart. So they have like all these little windows when they'll be releasing them. And apparently he's been like trying every single time. And at one point he got one in his cart and then went to check out and it was gone.
He keeps sending me screenshots of it. And I'm like, you can do it. You can do it. And then nope.
He's real sad. So
yeah, this is the most he's cried in a while.
Yeah, he really wants one. Okay. Okay. Am I the asshole for selling my PS5 pre-order? I don't know what this means. I bought a PS5 disc edition pre-order from Walmart yesterday. Oh, so this was one of the people that took.
Yeah, this is David's enemy.
I was one of the lucky few. I failed at all other attempts and finally got lucky. I pretty much decided from the get-go that I was going to at least attempt to sell it. What? I saw it as a win-win because prices are legitimately kind of crazy right now. And I would either make enough money to buy a PS5 when the hype has died down, or I'd get my PS5 and enjoy all the awesome new games. I put it up on the local buy-sell trade for $1,000. I didn't realistically think I was going to get this much. How much are they, actually?
I think the disc version it's either $500 or $600, I think. I'd have to look it up. Okay. I don't care because there are no games I want to play on it right now.
Okay. I didn't realistically think I was going to get this much, but hey, might as well shoot for the moon. I also listed in the description that I was open to offers. I just didn't want lowballers because people in my area have a tendency to do that. What does that mean? The post exploded, got a bunch of people laughing at me, calling me a snake scammer, and anytime anyone commented showing legitimate interest, another person would comment telling them not to be stupid, don't give in to the scammer, or something like that. I deleted the post within the hour, obviously. It was getting kind of hurtful. I was going to sell it to someone for $650 in the group, but after it got cruel, I reached out to her, and we agreed to cancel. I get that price gouging is annoying, but when I posted it, I was legitimately open to any offer. I wasn't trying to take advantage of anyone. Wanted to see if anyone was interested. Was I the asshole for trying to sell my PS5?
So I think yes, because people like that are the same ones that made... like Switches you couldn't find forever. It was the same thing with like the Nintendo Wiis. They do this every console launch. where they buy them up. It's the same thing with like concert tickets. They have robots that can buy them all up and then they resell them. And then people who actually just want to play games can't do it. And I think part of that's on the companies that produce them and sell them, which is Dave and I talked about yesterday. But like Apple, if you pre-order something, if you tried to order an iPhone right now, it's not in stock. They'll still take your order and they'll ship it when it's ready. I don't understand why other companies don't do that same thing where it's like, you'll get one. Here's the date you'll get it. We just don't have it yet. Like,
yeah, why? That's what happened with my Remarkable. So I ordered it in September and was told, like, you are in batch 8, and batch 8 is shipping at the end of November. So you pre-ordered it, but you're not going to get it for a few months. And I think that's a good rollout plan for something that's high demand.
Yeah, then you at least know when it's coming, you know?
Rather than releasing a bunch of them all at once, and then only the richest people or the luckiest people can get them, which is stupid.
Mm-hmm. This guy, he only bought one, so he's not as bad as other people who I saw a picture online where a guy had like 8 or 9 of each model stacked all up. God. And that, like, first of all, to even have that much money that you can buy that many, you're probably an asshole anyway. But to then turn around and, you know, try to make double profit or something on them, sell for $1,000, like, that's, I hate that. It's the same thing like with the Mini Nintendo and Super Nintendo. The prices went so high because kids wanted them. People legit wanted to play them, and assholes would go buy up the whole order and then resell them for a lot more. And it just drove me nuts as someone who likes those things. Yeah. But
I was glad that when the Switches like surged early in quarantine, that Nintendo did not raise the prices. They were just like, they're just going to be out of stock for a while and you have to wait. But yeah, this guy's an asshole. Like, it's the same, like you said, it's the same thing with scalping tickets, right? Like, you know, the artists don't have any control over it, right? It's like the artists put these tickets up for, you know, $60-$80, and then the only people that actually get to go to the concert are people who paid $300, right? Like, because it gets through multiple levels of scalpers, and it just keeps getting higher and higher and higher. This is what happened when I bought tickets for Elton John for myself and my parents. By the time I was actually able to get through to buy them, they were like $250 a piece. But it was his last tour ever, so I kind of had to be like, all right, guess this is what we're doing.
We're gonna buy them anyway. I hate that. I hate when the systems in place allow people to take advantage of them in such a way that just regular people who are just trying to do something fun or nice get screwed over.
Yeah, I also love that this guy was like, I got roasted by thousands of people on the internet, so here I come to the internet to see if I get roasted.
Surely you here in the asshole board will understand me.
I mean, and I absolutely give props to the people in the comment section, like, trying to talk people out of it. I saw this shit on, like, the U of M buy-sell page all the time, because U of M gets a lot of rich kids from out of state. The U of M out-of-state tuition is like $50,000, so any out-of-state student is, you know, probably rolling. So they all come to campus with like their Canada Goose jackets from Southern California, and as soon as it drops below like 60 degrees, they pull out their giant down Arctic expedition jackets. Those are meant for exploring Antarctica. Like, I was watching, literally, that's what they were meant for, because like Goose Down is so insulating. But the only reason you would need a jacket that warm and insulated would be for something like that. And I was watching, what was it, like March of the Penguins or something like that, and one of the people had a Canada Goose jacket, and this was filmed like 15 years ago. So it was before they were like a commodity for really rich kids. And I was like, oh my God, it's a Canada Goose. And then I was like, wait, this is what they're for. This is what they were made for.
This is okay. They're using it
for
the right
being
way.
I'm in like,
Michigan
Antarctica.
Is never that cold. Although I'm sure when we had polar vortex crap, that there were days where we must have been colder than Antarctica.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, okay, what you're going to, so you're going to drop $1,000 on a jacket for 2 days of below zero weather, right? Like, yeah, it gets cold, but a moderate jacket that's, you know, $200 will do pretty much just as well. But anyway, so they would post dumb shit online, and like occasionally it would be so outlandish, like used UGG boots or something like that, $200, right? Like full retail value. And it would just laugh emojis reacting to it. Like, only laugh reacts. Or like, you know, now.
And
the
then there's inevitably
an
edit that's like, if you're not going to take it seriously, don't comment at all.
Yeah. 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 Well, now the new hot thing is subleasing apartments, because now Michigan is probably not going to come back for in-person in the winter. But these rich kids are like posting their luxury apartments on the sublease page for full price. They're like looking for $1,200 a month for a shared room in a 4-bedroom, 200 square foot apartment. And it's like, has luxury amenities like a pool and a gym and things that you can't use during COVID.
I noticed that with a lot of places out here too, is they advertise all these things that are closed and you will not be able to use for probably, you know, 8 to 12 more months.
My building still has the pool and like the hot tub open. You just have to, you have to wear a mask unless you're actively swimming, and then the gym is still open, but it's only, it's limited to like 3 people in there at once.
They should just take reservations
the whole time. I wish they did. I wish they did, because then, you know, I would, I would use it if I could plan a half hour when I would be the only one there. But that is nice, because I mean, most of these amenities are outside things, so like there's no reason to close it, right? Like it's probably safe. You just need to wear a mask.
Wash
and the
your
pool
hands.
Area is really nice. But that, that has been so funny, is seeing these kids try to sublease their apartments, and they just get laugh reacts, because it's like, who are you subleasing to? Everyone is leaving. Like, and also, you're definitely not the one paying your rent. Like, I'm sure your daddy will keep paying that bill. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, don't worry about this. Well, I will say, in Ann Arbor, though, the leasing is like super predatory and terrible, because you can't break, like where I lived before I moved here, I couldn't break the lease at all. It was like, if you, you just still have to pay. You can leave, but you still have to pay. Or I could turn it to them to find somebody, and then I'd still have to pay until they found somebody, which I get it. You signed a contract, but because Ann Arbor is such a terrible housing situation, it just screws over people who, maybe you get a different job in the middle of the year, or, you know, you've got to move home for virus reasons. So it, it bothers me that people get in that situation. But also at the same time, yeah, people with these fancy apartments that their parents are paying for, it's like, well, I care a little bit less about you.
Yeah. I was amazed when moving here, because I was used to the Ann Arbor leasing situation where you have to lease your apartment like 10 months in advance. I signed my lease for this apartment mid-July and was moved in by the early August. So like, it, and granted, it's a building, so like faster turnover, because it's a high demand building. But also in my lease is like, if at any point you want to leave before your lease is up, you just have to give either 60 days notice or 60 days worth of rent, and then you can just bounce. Like,
yeah,
that is unheard of. In Ann Arbor, it's like, no, you have to find a subleaser or pay the full sum for the remainder of your
lease.
And
they'll usually have rules about subleasing too, where like they have to do a background check, and you have to pay, and there's all the, like, there's fees for it and shit like that. And it drives me nuts. Having to abandon like 3 apartments there to move to California several times, I'm like, okay, I don't want to do that again.
Or you get a psychopath that subleases your apartment and puts it on Airbnb and lets 50 different people sleep in your bed.
That sounds like a very personal tale, Becca. Wonder what that's about.
Nothing. Made
it
that
is a
up.
Mystery.
I dreamt
it. It was invented by a writer.
That
all right. We'll head into our break here. And when we come back, we've got Have You Heard About This? We're back, and per usual, we've got Have You Heard About
Have
This?
Have You Heard About This?
Ba-da-da-da-ba-ba.
Well, we were not in sync that time. Last week we were. I didn't even edit that. It just, we said it at the same time, even with the delay.
You can line it up though, right?
If I want to, but I don't. So this week, we were talking about PlayStation 5, because obviously David's trying to get one. And a lot of people out there are. So I thought it'd be cool. Let's talk PlayStation facts this week.
I'm not a gamer, so.
Yeah, Becca's not a gamer, so a lot of this she's just learning.
I just play my Switch.
I'm more of a Nintendo fan, so some of this was new to me too, but it's always cool to learn new stuff about things you have. I've got a PlayStation 4 right here on my desk underneath the Xbox, underneath my iMac. So we're one big happy family. The Switch is on the desk too, but Switch has always been my favorite. So it's nice to learn about these other systems that I've been playing for years. Mm-hmm. So years of research went into the development of the PlayStation, starting in the late 1970s when John PlayStation III first came up with the idea for this grand unified theory of entertainment. He believed that the public would be glad to spend thousands of dollars on if they could have just one machine, and that machine would do television. You'd be able to watch films. It could play Pong, which was very popular at the time, and you'd be able to throw a record on. I like Pong too. It's easy, but I like it. It was the foundation for Mario's Tennis, and I think actually real tennis too came from the idea of Pong.
If you hit that Pong ball in the corner just perfect, you get so many bounces on that.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. People cheer. Mm-hmm. That changed my childhood the first time I did that.
Yep.
So John Station the Third came up with this idea, and he just wanted one machine that could do it all. And unfortunately, he died under extremely mysterious circumstances before he could realize that vision. We don't really know what happened, but there was a letter sent into his work that basically said, there was a tragic circumstance, but didn't specify. So we really don't know what happened to him or who he was with, but he died. And so after his death, because he had no male heirs, the station estate was sold to the highest bidder. And in this case, it was Sony. The corporation
He had no male heirs, but also no male
hairs. No male hairs. Yeah, he was hairless functionally. So that could be part of what led to his death. You know, when you are that slick because you have no hair for friction, if you slide down a hill, you've got nothing to grab onto. And of course, he was known for his nudist hiking. So I got to think that played a factor in his untimely death. So Sony buys the estate. They look through it and they say, wow, there's some good ideas in here. And it took them some time to actually bring that product to market. But the PlayStation, as they called it, was named for its original creator, first debuted in 1994, and it was fine. It was okay. It wasn't the best. Nintendo 64 was better. It had four controllers, Smash Brothers, whatever. So, of course, we're years and years past that now. We're almost 20 years in here. So the name PS5, or sorry, we're almost 30 years into the PlayStation's lifetime. The name PS5 comes from the idea that the system itself, the new version, was inspired by the Fast and Furious franchise's fifth entry. The team at Sony, huge fans. They literally watch in their office once a week. Sometimes they do, like you might see with the Rocky Horror Picture Show, where they sing and they dance and they like act out the film in front of the film for their friends. So they decided to honor that bonding that the movie brought to them by naming the system after their favorite entry, which is Fast Five.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you've seen pictures of the PS5, you've probably seen all the memes that show it like, you know, the size of an airplane or something. And the Xbox memes show the Xbox or the size of a fridge. And it's just a joke. It's big, but it's not that big. The PS5 has essentially twice the interior volume and weighs three times as much as the PS4. Which is why the internal codename for it was Big Fucker. That was how they referred to it to keep it a secret. So along with the size, there's a worry, you know, that it could be unstable when you put it on the stand. So experts actually predict that upwards of four people per year are going to be killed due to these unstable PS5s falling on them, no warning, and just crushing them to death.
You got to wonder, is it worth it?
The new Spider-Man game looks good. So I do like Miles Morales. And, you know, sometimes you're going to crack some eggs when you're saving the city as Spider-Man. But, you know, because that question of is it worth it, like what would it cost the company if this happens? You actually, in the terms and conditions that you agree to before you can use the system, you have to accept that the console could turn on you and murder you in cold blood at any point. So keep that in mind when you buy it. Like, this is a murder box. We all know that. But it's got a lot of flops in there. And I think having a dump of flops is really what drives the better graphics.
Big dump.
When we look about the size, a lot of it comes down to the backwards compatibility. Over the last couple of years, some systems kind of move away. Maybe they support the last generation or they support the last generation. You can like emulate a bunch of the other games. But this, the PS5 actually has full compatibility with all previous PlayStations. And to do that, they actually had to build them directly into the casing. So you've got a PS1, a PS2, PS3, PS4. They're all built into the system inside of there. They just share the one disk drive, which lends it to the size and the weight. And of course, the other reason the system is so large is actually due to the hubris of man, with Sony's hardware team so preoccupied with whether they could create this that they didn't stop to consider if they should. Then one last fact, you know, we've mentioned the Xbox a little bit in this discussion. They, of course, just released their new system, the Xbox Series X, almost at the same time that the PlayStation came out. And that builds on a rivalry that stretches back nearly 20 years. The first Xbox came out in 2001. So much like the classic arguments between Coke and Pepsi, VHS or Betamax, and fascism versus not being a horrible fucking person, one side is clearly wrong here on the Xbox or PlayStation side, and they'll receive no mercy from whatever god they believe in when the final days come. So when you buy that system, keep in mind eternal damnation is a potential outcome of this, but that new Gears game looks pretty good too. So, and that was Have You Heard About This?
Yeah.
Cool. So we have our little game in the theme of Am I the Asshole? Again, if you don't know, this is a subreddit that we're reading from. And people post the most ridiculous things. And so a game that we've been doing now for the past two episodes, and now this will be the third, is trying to trick each other into guessing which one of these is fake. So normally we've done four, you guess the fake one. Today, I'm going to read six, and two of them are fake. There are two imposters.
The best part of this is going to be me trying to keep track of what you've read to me. So
I can, I'll read them twice.
I'll write them down. All right. Saying too.
All right. Am I the asshole for not donating my eggs to my dad and stepmom? Am I the asshole for refusing to, quote, smell his finger? Am I the asshole for leaving the room without a word after my fiance proposed? Okay, I love how this one's written. Am I the asshole my friend refused to watch the 1982 film The Wall?
What?
Oh,
holds 2003.
Am I the asshole for going on a weekend trip with my girlfriend before my wife and I tell our daughter that we are planning to divorce? Am I the asshole no longer buy ketchup for my family?
That's how it's written?
And am I the asshole for banning my girlfriend from the group chat after she upset people by insisting that ghosts aren't real? All right, so one more time. Am I the asshole for not donating my eggs to my dad and stepmom? Am I the asshole for refusing to, quote, smell his finger? Am I the asshole for leaving the room without a word after my fiance proposed? Am I the asshole my friend refused to watch the 1982 film The Wall? Am I the asshole for going on a weekend trip with my girlfriend before my wife and I tell our daughter that we are planning to divorce? Am I the asshole no longer buy ketchup for my family? Question mark.
Calories, semen? Question mark.
And am I the asshole for banning my girlfriend from a group chat after she upset people by insisting that ghosts aren't real?
Okay, first of all, that's seven things, not six.
You're right.
Yeah.
Two of them are fake.
Okay. I think number one, the eggs. Okay. And three, the proposal.
Wrong on both accounts.
God damn, I'm so bad at this.
Those are both real. So
which ones are the fake ones?
So am I the asshole for refusing to, quote, smell his finger? And then after I read the one that says, am I the asshole my friend refused to watch the 1982 film The Wall? I wrote, am I the asshole no longer buy ketchup for my family? So I left the structure.
I do like that structure. I thought, like, there's no way Becca would write something like that. This can't be the real one. No way.
Well, the one about the wall gets me because it's like,
it's very
two
specific.
two separate statements, right? Am I the asshole? My friend refused to watch the 1982 film The Wall.
First of all, I've never heard of that movie.
Me either.
Sounds fake. Maybe that's our next group movie night in the Discord here is the 1982 film The Wall.
No longer buy ketchup for my family?
So the reason I mentioned semen in there is when we went on a cruise in March before the world ended, and
very beginning of March.
The very beginning. We didn't know.
Before this was anything on anyone's radar.
That's not true. Some of us read the news, Rebecca.
Okay. It was when there were like two cases in the U.S.
And it was not going to get any higher.
By the time we got off the cruise ship, there were like 600. And then we all started panicking. Because when you take a cruise, you don't have cell service, except for Jess, who paid for the cell service.
I paid $50 to have internet the whole trip. And that's why I knew what was going on in the outside world. And I just didn't tell them.
When we got off the boat, she was fine. And we all got off the boat and saw the news, and we were like, we're going to fucking die, because we had to get on planes to fly home. This was before anyone was wearing masks. It was before, you know, anyone knew how to prevent this. So all we knew was that there was exponential spread and we had to go to an airport. So it was terrifying.
It was.
But at the time, I was just wrapping up keto. I thought I was going to stay keto on the cruise, and then I didn't. And then I was just done with keto. But we were on our way to a Brazilian steakhouse, and I think we were already a little drunk at this point. And I just put my phone up to my mouth, and I said, "Hey Siri, how many carbs semen?" And Ben Reese thought that was the funniest thing he'd ever heard in his life. And he wrote it down, and he kept a running list of like funny things that we said throughout the year, and he gave us a recap the other day, which was real good. But that was one of the highlights. Was, hey Siri,
did we find out how many carbs are in semen?
Almost none. It's almost entirely protein. Yeah.
So you'd have to have a lot of semen to break you out of keto.
I don't think you could consume enough to do that.
Well, it sounds like a challenge. Got all that time off around Christmas, so I guess we'll find out.
The funny thing was the serving size of semen was like 2 tablespoons. And I was like, how did they land on that?
Yeah, it's hard to aim into a tablespoon, so.
Anyway, excited for my mom to listen to this one.
Yeah, that's good. I think she'll be happy that you're considering what you're eating and being responsible about your health.
It's true.
Okay. All right, this one is, am I the asshole for telling my coworker why I don't use our company health insurance? It's interesting. I, female 27, was having a casual conversation with a coworker, a male in his 50s, and he brought up the enrollment period for our company insurance was coming to an end and asked me if I had finished signing up yet. I responded by saying, oh, I use my husband's insurance. Our company is opposed to reproductive rights and only covers birth control when mandated by law. He said something along the lines of, I guess you need some type of control, and we moved on to talking about the technical work that we were doing.
Okay, I do need to like interject here. By the Affordable Care Act, all insurance companies cover birth control 100%. So I don't know what the fuck she's talking about, but she's incorrect.
Well, there are companies suing so that they don't have to do it because companies as entities can have deeply held religious beliefs.
Correct.
Because like, Hobby Lobby doesn't
Hobby
support
Lobby
it, right?
thing.
Yeah.
But that changed with the Affordable Care Act. So as long
but
as
But some of that only
law,
applies to companies of a certain size too. So what some of it depends on.
Sure.
Oh, no, here, there's stuff, I read a little bit further, there's stuff in the edit, so we'll get there, so we'll understand why.
Okay, I'm excited.
So, we're talking about the details of the technical work they were doing. Later in the afternoon, I got an email from my boss, male 26, and he said I shouldn't talk about details of my personal life with my coworker, and it made people uncomfortable. My thought is that equal rights only happen when people are willing to make it part of mainstream conversation. Am I the asshole for responding truthfully, but possibly with a bit TMI, to a conversation started by my coworker? Or should I have just kept it at, oh, I use my husband's insurance and not finish the sentence? So I want to read the edits before we talk about it.
Okay.
Because there are more to the edits than there was to the main post. First edit is, there was one other person in the room when I made the comment, also a male in his 50s. My boss didn't say who, but my belief is that the other person in the room it's the other person in the room who made the complaint, not the one I was actually talking to. Edit 2 says, wow, a lot more attention than I thought. First, a lot of questions about my work. I work for a hospital owned by a Catholic conglomerate that employs about 125,000 people. I accepted the job when it was my only career-related option for work, and it can be hard to leave. I wish I could work for someone that with all the same ideals as I have, but then I would probably just be self-employed. There are several people in my department who are openly non-Christian religions and LGBTQ+. Just because it is a Catholic organization does not mean it directly reflects the views of many of the employees. I spoke with my boss today. He was promoted from being my coworker about a month ago and is still semi-transitioning into his first management job. He apologized for his email without discussing with me, and I apologize for my combative tone in the workplace. He mentioned that our company policy includes harassments to include conversations that make people uncomfortable when they are within earshot, even if they are not directed at him, at them, which confirmed my suspicion, but also conceded that what I said would not be considered harassment. I apologize for taking such a combative stance, and I said I will try to be more cognizant of my tone and audience in the future. He said that he never made an official statement to HR and was addressing this as a disagreement between coworkers. I believe my other coworker's statement was a sort of clumsy agreement with me, as I saw in the comments, not an attack at me, so I did not mention it. I have a summary of our conversation in email and saved. I doubt he handled it the best or most officially, but in the interest of an amicable workplace. I have left it at that, have my documentation, and don't intend to follow it any further on my end. So I think off the bat, this person's not an asshole.
Not an asshole, but it sounds like they did land on, like, probably you don't need to talk about your sex life or medical status in work. I mean, I'm very comfortable with my colleagues, but I would never be like, yeah, I need this insurance so I can get my fucking pills.
Like, we call them fuck stop, baby stop pills,
because it has the potential to make people uncomfortable. Like, you just don't need to talk about your sex life at work.
My impression of what she said wasn't that she was trying to talk about her sex life, is that she's trying to talk about how shitty their company is when it comes to insurance. Yeah. Like,
yeah. And that's just one of those things where if you're going to say something like that, you need to know your audience before.
Yeah. But the other person wasn't even involved in the conversation is what bothers me. I'm like, it was not talking to you. And I like the idea that you should be cognizant of other people, but they weren't really there, you know? It was a casual conversation. Like, it's not like they were doing work stuff. They were just, I would assume, in some sort of break room hanging out or whatever. So, like, I don't know. I think they can talk about that if they want to. It's their prerogative to bring it up. I don't think there's anything uncomfortable about saying, yes, I'm married to somebody and having sex. Like, I don't see anything wrong with that.
No. I think
I would also wonder if those people turn around and be like, when are you going to have kids? You know, people get, after you get married, they're immediately like, when are you going to start having unprotected sex? And so I'm like,
you guys doing it raw?
Yeah. You ever just slipping in, you know?
But that also, like, I think those conversations also border on harassment, like, because that's in the same
right
vein.
But I've never seen those conversations considered harassment.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, we're so happy. You're going to have kids. Oh, my God. And I, like, I hate it. I hate that anyway. I don't think this person was out of line to mention that. Like, they seem, I would guess, probably frustrated that they work for a hospital that doesn't cover, like, basic healthcare needs.
Yeah. 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 It's a fickle thing. Well, what do the comments say? Everyone says not an asshole. I agree. Not an asshole. Somebody's even telling them, it seems like telling them to go to HR for like, you know, turning it the other way. And I just feel like this doesn't need to be what they're trying to turn it into. Mm-hmm.
Well, HR
doesn't need to be a big deal.
There's other comments that say HR protects the company, which is a good point. Is there
not you?
Not there to help you. Yeah. They're there to make sure the company doesn't get in trouble because of some asshole they've hired.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is, I mean, it pisses me off that it's set up this way, that religious organizations can, you know, slap a religious label on their org and then not provide birth control to their employees, even though it's technically
right.
required.
I also wonder
law.
If they pay taxes. I don't know how like a religious exemption for taxes work, but I know obviously churches don't pay any taxes. So I wonder if you know,
hospitals
hospital based on that
do.
Would...
They do, yeah.
Good.
It's not a place of worship. Yeah, the whole thing is churches should be paying taxes. And my mom is very Catholic and was even pissed off about like this past election cycle with priests using church time to tell people to vote for Trump and like a nun being at the RNC. And she was like, if this is how it's going to be, like y'all need to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. It's like,
do you want to be involved in the politics?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think they're the asshole. I mean, I could see myself feeling weird if my coworkers started telling me about like switching up my brand of birth control, you know, like I'm like, I don't, we're not friends. Like,
you're not friends with your coworkers?
I not on that.
They're
going to
hear this. Wow.
Prescriptions.
You've heard them today.
I don't want to hear about my colleagues' prescription drugs. No. There's a certain line that I draw.
Wish you were more open.
But
to
I would never go to HR about it if somebody was like
I would just
telling
be like,
me about their birth
I'm not
control.
Really interested
I would just be
in
like,
that, but they...
I'm sorry, but like let's talk about something else.
I'm gonna start talking about it with you.
Telling me about your birth control?
My birth control method is that I'm an asshole and nobody loves me. So honestly, it works. It works really well.
It's like the Pokemon dialogue. It was highly effective. Jessica used her personality.
It's super effective.
It was super effective.
This is hurtful. I might need to cry after we're done recording.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, got a little too real there.
She says she does. She says she does, but she won't.
No, I'm too busy being awesome to ever cry.
Okay. And by the asshole for saying, I just hope that you're proud of yourself, to my niece when I lost my job after she reported the company I worked for. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of layers to this one. I, 35, female, lost my job after a pandemic struck and found another working in a meat company. It was much lesser paid, more tiring and longer hours, but beggars can't be choosers. I have 3 kids to raise and need a job or it would be too much money for my husband to shoulder. That sucks. I was going to continue to work there until I found a more suitable job because the boss of that company is quite an asshole. The boss in the meat packing company. Mm-hmm. Some time ago, my niece, 19, female, was looking for a part-time job, and since there were vacancies in my workplace, I recommended her to my superiors. My brother's family is quite wealthy, fully funding my niece's studies and living expenses, and my niece only wanted a job for extra allowance. My niece soon found that many of us working there are not paid the standard for overtime and our workload exceeding the norm. She was disgusted by the environment and wanted to file a complaint about the company to the authorities. I begged her not to because of my love for the company. Not because of my love for the company, but because, like me, many of us there have families to feed and needed the job. My niece ignored me and ended up making quite a big deal out of it, posting pictures, videos, and long paragraphs on social media to file some reports to fight for our rights. I have no idea if it changed anything in the company. However, as a result of this drama, the company decided to dismiss a portion of its staffs, and including me, a few other coworkers of mine had lost their jobs. They did not voice it out directly, but they have been avoiding me, probably blaming me for introducing my niece to the job. I've been avoiding my niece, too, because despite her good intentions, I still lost my job. My niece has been texting me giving all sorts of reasons that what she'd done was right. When I ignored her text, she sent more with long paragraphs, basically wanting me to acknowledge that she is right. I really don't want to put blame or argue with someone half my age, still living in comfort with her parents. So in the end, I just replied, I just hope that you are proud of yourself. My brother texted me later to say that I was being unkind to his daughter, oof, and that as her aunt who witnessed workplace toxicity with her, I should encourage her to continue to fight for what is right, still going on between her and the company. I may be unemployed, but I am going to spend my time looking for a job instead of joining some vendetta. Am I the asshole? Absolutely not. She sounds like a little prick. Like,
so here's the reason I picked this one is because it's categorized as no assholes here. So
okay,
there are
I lean towards the niece is a bit of an asshole, only for the fact that she is a little ignorant. Like, I understand what she's trying to do here, but if after her aunt said, please don't do this, I could lose my job and I have a family to feed, she still went ahead and did it, right? And saying, like, I'm doing this for you, and then not caring that her aunt lost the job. And then after her aunt lost her job and now can't feed her kids, is texting her aunt being like, no, I know I was right. Like, that, to me, is...
I think the company is the asshole is the thing. Is they put a situation where this would happen. Because I don't think the niece is wrong to want to change and make it a better working situation for everyone. But obviously there are results of that, you know, like... There's an outcome.
And there's a way to do this that doesn't involve, let me put the company on blast.
Online, yeah. I would have gone to like a third party.
Do it. Yeah. If you're a little rich kid, go get your daddy's lawyer and do it through the courtroom. Don't do this on social media. So then the company loses a bunch of money and your aunt loses her job, right? Like, that to me, like, obviously the company is the main asshole here, but the niece is... yes, what you did is correct, but that doesn't mean that it was the right thing to do given the circumstances, right? Like, you can
I support the niece. I don't think either one of them is an asshole.
I don't think the niece is an asshole, but I think
she's probably entitled and kind of naive about
I don't think she has any empathy for the actual situation or the actual workers, right? Like, this was a, I need to prove that I'm right, and I need to, like, I, you know, I need to let, and also doing it on social media is sort of this, like, activist porn that we get into, which is like,
that's what I was thinking, is it's
very self-serving, because it not only is it, you're not actually fixing the problem. Right, because now this company is just going to fire a chunk of its staff and then probably continue. And the people still working there are going to have to work even more hours now. And you're putting it on social media so everyone sees you as, like, this saint for the working class, right? Like,
for calling it out. You're so brave.
For calling it out. If you want to fix this, go get your daddy's lawyer and go sue the company, right? You don't need to do this on social media so that they lose a bunch of money and your aunt loses her job, right? Like,
I feel like this to me is just meatpacking or processing plants like that. Don't they have unions too? So in theory, isn't there maybe a union that could have handled some of this and fought for their workers?
It doesn't sound like this one has a union. No, there are meatpacking unions in certain places, but not all of them. No, if there were a union, they wouldn't. I don't think they would have been able to, like, do a layoff like this. They would have had to go through the union and then the conditions wouldn't have been that bad in the first place.
The comments in this are interesting because people are going back and forth the same way as us with saying, like, some of them say the company's the asshole. Some of them say the niece is the asshole. Some of them say nobody's an asshole. Like, it's all over the place in there. So I thought it would be an interesting topic.
Yeah, I personally really agree with the second comment here. So they quote the above comment, which said what your niece did was right. And they said it wasn't. She did it against the explicit wishes of OP, knowing full well that the likely consequences will be workers getting fired. She was being selfish and tone deaf, asshole, not an altruist like many of you are trying to paint her as. How delightful that the niece got to learn a life lesson here. It was only at the expense of people who have just lost their livelihood in the middle of a pandemic, not the privileged princess. Not that the privileged princess is affected in any way, as she is being completely funded by her wealthy parents. I think this doesn't sound like she did it actually for the benefits of the workers, because if she did, there was a way to do this without people losing their jobs. Maybe.
So the real asshole is capitalism.
Yeah. Or the right answer is, like, documenting all of this. And then when it's not a fucking pandemic, then you can go through the proper avenues. But why did you need to do this now? Especially after you were told, like, please don't. I have 3 children to feed. Like, the real asshole is the company. But Denise, I don't think she did this to be a good person. I think that she did this to prove a point. And she's still trying to prove a point by continuing to text her aunt, who is exhausted and now broke, being like, no, I did the right thing. See, XYZ, I did the right thing. And it's like, you can tell she feels a lot of guilt because she's trying to, because I do this when I feel guilty about something. I will like spiral, like trying to logic my way out of it. And sometimes you just can't. Like, it doesn't matter if the thing that she did was correct. It had bad consequences and she needs to live with those. And the problem is she's not the one living with them. It's all these people that lost their jobs. That's my take.
You're the asshole.
We were all the assholes in the end.
Wait, I'm the asshole? Always was.
Always was.
Or is it always has been? I never know the correct way to say that, but.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, always has been. I like that one.
Yeah, I don't know. The company is the problem. That's what makes me angry. Yeah. Is it's like these two people are both in shitty situations. The niece was doing what I think is objectively right, if not the outcome wasn't good for everybody, but it's still right to protest those conditions. Everybody else suffered because the company is shitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think there's a way to, like, I just don't think that anything good will come of what she did here. Like, all that has happened is the company will cut their staff and lose money. And that, you know, people lost their jobs. But, like, if she actually had wanted to change the working conditions, there's more effective ways to go about it than, like, making a post.
Burn the building
Facebook.
Down. I thought it would smell amazing to burn a meat packing factory down just because all that meat.
Yeah. Well, I like that this one wasn't super cut and dry because we usually just have a very easy agreement. And then get to just talk about how right we are the entire rest of the discussion.
Yeah, and I feel like it's not a good representation of our friendship because normally you're wrong all the time and I like have to tell you that. So agreeing with you just never felt right.
Yep. Yep. Here's a good comment. Perhaps your wealthy brother will back up his daughter's moral conviction by financially supporting you now that you are unemployed because of her. That's what I'm like. If your brother is so rich that he can like support his daughter and then have the balls to come to you who just lost your job and be like, stop bothering my daughter, please. I'd be like, then fucking give me some money because I don't have a job because of her Facebook post. Like that's what gets me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what kind of relationship they have.
Sounds like a bad one.
Yeah. Yeah. I here's another one. The niece didn't do anything wrong regarding the company, but she's now being an asshole to OP by bombarding her with her righteousness.
I think
OP
that is
jobless.
More in line with how I feel.
Yeah.
Because I really hate the company here. I'm not mad at either person, except that, yeah, I would probably just leave
the continued
aunt alone.
Texting. Like, we don't gotta talk. Continued testing of being like, I don't care that you lost your job. I need you to agree that I did the right thing. And it's like, sometimes that doesn't matter. Like sometimes people don't want to be told that they're wrong. They just want to be like understood. And this niece is never going to understand the financial situation that her aunt is in. She's just not.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. Capitalism.
It's true.
It's a Becca's failed experiment.
The socialist on this podcast.
I don't think
not
that's
me.
True.
Yeah,
no.
Becca is a huge violent socialist.
No.
Yeah, you heard her here first.
After the celebrations in the street after Biden won, and I went and drove around, I sent a picture to my mom and brother of like just, you know, driving in front of the Capitol and all the people outside like partying and. I was like, at my local Antifa rally.
Glad they organized this. The leadership really came through.
Yeah, my local Antifa chapter.
Antifa Local 420.
Anyway, this was the Unholy Podcast. You know, Jesus was Antifa. So
is that true?
What would Bible? Jesus do? Probably not fascism.
If I had to guess, it would be non-fascism.
If I had to take a gander there.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, have a good week. We'll talk to you next Sunday.